Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us tonight on episode 15, season 2 of The Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. Thought it was a disappointing round to watch this week, Richie, with three of the four matches being one-sided, plus no Warriors game didn't really help. What did you think of the round?
Yeah, it's for me, it's kind of always a little bit that way come Origin period, and you see a lot of these teams are sort of diluted of their talent. So, yeah, I think that's what we saw there, and it obviously helped the Tigers. And didn't help the Panthers, it's a bit that way, but that's what it is. Exactly. when you don't have a standalone window, it's just gonna happen.
Definitely. And while we're here live on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m., you can also catch our show via our podcast on iHeartRadio at your convenience. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to be covering everything you need to know in the week that was rugby league, including our top stories of the week, a review of the round 13 matches and our picks. We'll then answer some questions from you before we preview the round 14 clashes and State of Origin and make our picks. And with Super League currently still in progress in the round, as I explained last week, the round's a bit funny. We'll cover that next week instead. So tune in to get your rugby league news. Remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show. And let's just get into our top stories of the week, Richie.
Let's do it.
I think the first one kind of came out today is the Warriors are returning to Mount Smart. This year on the 15th of August, which is round 22 in a game against the Bulldogs. I'll just come to you with your thoughts first.
Stoked, obviously, mate. It's been a long, long time coming. I jumped straight on to message you as soon as I saw it, and I think we're both pretty pumped for it. I think I'll make a special trip up to Auckland from down here for that one.
Yeah, I think I'll make the 20-minute drive to Mount Smart. I think I'll do it. But yeah, I think it's pretty good. We talked prior going live that there was a little bit of a disappointment in the Warriors community when I think it was Saturday or Sunday. There was stuff all over Facebook about Cameron George was going to have an announcement on Sunday, because it was a Sunday footy show. Yeah. Which unfortunately is a show we can't watch in this country. So we were having to get the news, and the news was announcing a big concert before this week's game, which most Warriors fans already knew about. So it was a bit of a letdown, and I'm assuming that this deal hadn't been struck yet. Otherwise this would have been an announcement at the time. Bit disappointing to not get it at that time, but it's great to actually have the news. The members have already been sent their tickets. I got my tickets today, so I could print them out and put them away ready for the day. And fingers crossed, everything COVID related stays okay. Yep. So it stays. But I think it'll be great. It'll be a great crowd. I think tickets go on sale for the public 3 p.m. tomorrow. which is great. So yeah, if you're in the area, you've got to get tickets because I'm sure it's going to be a sellout after 2 years of no footy. And then next bit of news, go from an upper to a downer. Brent Morris has officially announced his retirement. I think we kind of knew everything that was going to happen after his unfortunate injury. We spoke a lot about it when that injury happened, Richie, about how big a career he's had and all the stuff he's done. And it's a horrible way to go out, but unfortunately professional sport can be a cruel beast at times, and you don't always get to end on your terms, a la Cameron Smith last year.
Yeah, it's a cruel one. Brett Morris is one of the good guys and one of the modern day sort of great outside backs. You know, so cruel blow for Morris, but you know, he can look back on his career and be pretty damn proud of what he's put out on the field. He's him and his brother, pretty special pair.
Definitely. And before we move on, Simon commented, good evening, Simon. As always, as I said last week, he would explain why the Super League round was weird. It's due to the Keller Challenge Cup semifinals. That's why there was a bit of a delay. So cheers for that, Simon. And Nigel's here too. Hey, Nigel. Hey, Nigel. And Mark's jumped in too. Mark from Ruin Hammer saying great news for the home fans for coming home.
Indeed.
He's also put another comment up, which I'll bring up soon because it's next on the list. Warriors have signed Storm prop Aaron Penny on a 2-year deal. I'm sure I've butchered his last name and I apologize to him. But yeah, Mark's brought it up saying, what do you boys think of the new signing? I posted a comment about it yesterday when the news was out saying I haven't seen a lot of them play. And then you actually tagged me in a highlight reel and I'm in love already. I'm a former prop, so I kind of gravitate towards all the props that come our way. And I usually give them quite a bit of leeway when it comes to how they perform. I'm not too crushed, but from what I've seen, again, a lot of his highlight reels have been in reserve grade stuff, so it's really hard to judge. But he looks like a strong runner. He's got some wheels on him. I've seen that he's played a bit of center and second row as well. So it's a good signing, I think. Nice young talent. What do you think, Richie?
I was a bit like you. I sort of had seen limited bits and pieces of him, and then I saw some highlights and thought, yeah, this guy is going to be somebody that Brad's going to be a fanboy of. big athletic looking chap. I think potentially down the line we've got a new favorite player for Brad.
Potentially. Ben Murdoch's still my crush, so it'll take a bit of time before BMM's gone out of my heart. But like Mark's just said there, do you think it means either Bunty or Leeson will be not offered a new deal? I think it possibly means Leeson because I know the Warriors have already offered Bunty a deal, and I've seen on Facebook that Bunty's agreed to terms, but I haven't seen anything from the Warriors to actually confirm that yet. But I think potentially we've heard nothing about Leeson getting offered a deal yet, so it could potentially be Leeson on the way out, and potentially Jackson Frey, who's a young front rower that hasn't been given an opportunity yet. He's in the last contract or deal of the year of his deal, so he's probably on the outer as well. But yeah, until we get some confirmation from the club, we don't know. But yeah, what do you reckon? Do you reckon Leeson is on the way out?
It looks like it could be that way because when we saw the signing announced, you know, a lot of the noise was we've already got quite a lot of middle forwards. But yeah, Leeson sort of would be heading towards the back end of his career as well. So, you know, he's probably the one in my mind that he, you know, I think the Warriors might want to keep Bunty, and maybe Leeson might be a sign that he might be on the outer.
Potentially, yeah. I like Leeson. As well, going back into my love of props, but I wouldn't want to let him go, but I guess you can't keep them all. in your rotation. If you look at how many, we kind of, I've gone on a bit about it in the past couple of weeks, that I'm not a fan of Nathan Brown's rotation. On how long he either keeps forwards on or how long he waits till he brings them on. And if you throw a few more props into that, it could muddy the waters a bit. It's very hard to tell. We've just got to wait and see. As Mark said as well, he's seen nothing from the club too, and he's the big insider. He gets all the news. So if Mark doesn't know, no one does. So, yeah, and Mark's just commented again saying he thinks Bunty offers more with his hard running style.
Yeah,
and I think that's going to be the difference between him and Leeson. Leeson is very solid. He generally, not this year, but he generally averages around 100 metres a game, and he's good defensively. But Bunty gives you that little X factor in the front row, which I think they're kind of missing with the rest of the front rowers they have, with the exception of Adam Fanua Black. So I think, yeah, that's gonna be a tick in his area to keep him on. We just got to wait and see if he agrees to the terms on the deal they put on the table for him. And next bit of news, we may as well keep going on the Warriors train. Jazz Tavunga's re-signed for another 2 years. I think it's great news. Admittedly, it wasn't the best news probably after his simbining for his little brain explosion last week, but I think he offers so much to this club, and I feel like every team needs that rugged little guy in their team. Like, you think of, you know, even with the Warriors, you think of your Monty Beathams and your Kevin Campions and things like that. Just a little tough, hard-nosed forward that can get in there and do the dirty work. So I think it's a good signing. What do you think?
I think it's a good signing. For me, he offers a point of difference to our forward pack, you know, bit of mobility, but also a lot of toughness. He's a polarizing figure. You know, I think looking around the social media landscape when the signing was announced, there was you're either happy about it or a lot of people were not so happy. But you know, you look across the season stats, he actually hasn't been penalised as much this year. I think it's quite low, actually. I can't remember what it was, like five or six times. So, you know, and that sin bin, let me defend him. That sin bin he got was rubbish. Whiplash action, let's be honest. But, I'm all for it. Good signing.
Yeah, definitely. So happy to see him continue with the Warriors. Paul Turner, who used to be a Warrior, has officially announced that he's signed with the Titans for 2 years. Interestingly, though, it doesn't start till next year, so I'm not sure what he's doing in the meantime. Maybe just enjoying some R&R or playing some reserve grade over in Oz. But I think he's a good pickup for the Titans. I was a bit upset when he decided to leave, and then Reece Walsh came through the mist, and I kind of was like, okay, I don't mind. But yeah, very talented footballer, and I'm sure he'll have a great future ahead of him at the Titans. Especially, I don't know where he's going to decide to play, if he wants to go into the halves and maybe take over from Taylor. That might be his goal, or where he's going to go there. But Mark's got all the news here. He Turner's injured, so he's had shoulder surgery. So he's going to rehab hard and be ready for round one. Rehab round one for the Titans, and I think he'll have a field day with those big forwards over there. So good luck.
Yeah, I think with the Titans, he probably get a crack. You know, over here he's been waiting in line a long time, and you know, I don't know that he was going to get his turn anytime soon. So good for Paul. Hope he does well.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get off the Warriors at some point, I promise. But Adam Blair's been made a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit for his services to rugby league over Queen's birthday weekend last weekend. Great for Adam. I haven't had too many dealings with the man myself, but from everyone that I've spoken to that have known him personally, they can't say enough good stuff about him. I personally love, cheers, Mark. It's good. Someone's got to have information, Mark, because we don't have it. We just kind of ramble on. Adam Blair, I've really enjoyed what he's been doing on Warriors TV every week over here. I think when he does the pre-match stuff a lot of the time before Warriors games, and I think he's not that long out of the game. So he kind of knows a bit more than some of the older guys there about their goings on. He knows a lot of the Warriors guys personally, being in the team with them for so long. And he gives a good insight, and he's been doing a lot for the young Māori community since he's retired as well, and the young players coming through, which I think is going to reap benefits for the Warriors in the long term. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's just testament to a lot of that work he's doing, like you just pointed out, Brad. I'm like you, I enjoy a lot of the stuff he's doing right now with his punditry and bits and pieces on TV. He does a lot behind the scenes as well. I met him a couple of times, and he's a real nice chap. So congrats to him, you know.
Definitely. And then a bit of interesting news from the Sharks. It's been talked about at length already this week, but the Sharks have told Sean Johnson, Josh Dugan, and Aaron Woods that they're not going to be re-signed next year, and they are even willing to let them leave now if they find another club willing to take them on. Bulldogs, Rabbitohs, you name it, have been thrown in the mix, interested in Sean Johnson. But what's your take on the stance with these three guys? I can understand Woods and Dugan, but I think I would have been keeping SJ on if I was the Sharks.
Yeah, you can understand Woods and Dugan. Dugan's sort of been, well, he's getting later in his career, and he's having his injury problems. It's just sort of wait and see what happens with Sean, because there's a lot of rumor going around. I think he even came out on Twitter and said, don't believe everything you read, nothing sort of in stone at the moment. So, yeah. And I think even Simon's just said he might end up in Super League, possibly. Whatever happens, I'm sure he'll pick up a decent deal.
From what I've heard, like you said, he said, don't list believe everything you've heard. But one of the things I kept hearing was that he's not budging on his price, and that's kind of affecting teams that are interested in him. But yeah, I've even heard the Raiders have interested. It's like the Warriors of old, where whenever a player's been told they can go, everyone's saying the Warriors are looking at them just because they have some money in the till. So it's just a wait and see type approach, like you said. So we'll keep an eye on it, and we may even have some news on it for the show next week. More on players unwanted at their clubs. Matt Dufty, we spoke about it. The Dragons don't want him. He's rumored to be meeting with the Raiders this week. A lot of teams, including the Broncos, are interested in Dufty, but sounds like the Raiders are interested in bringing him in at fullback and moving Chance into the centres where he's played for the Kiwis. What are your thoughts on Dufty?
Well, he made a bit of a statement on the weekend, that's for sure. he has his downsides. Like, I think they've spoken about what he does defensively sometimes. But yeah, when he's on, he's dynamic and he makes a big difference to the Dragons' attack. So really interesting that I know they want to look at Cody Ramsey as the future, probably as their fullback. But yeah, I think Dufty, you know, whatever happens with him, he's got a lot of good footy in him. And I think he's a dangerous player, so probably I know the Broncos need a bit of help at fullback. Maybe they're circling as well, so be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, there were rumors a while ago that the Warriors were looking at him to replace Roger, and I didn't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole. He's everything he's great at on attack, he's the exact opposite on defense. Like I know we've done it a few times when we played the Dragons, but basically the golden rule is if you kick a ball up so he has to catch it, a bomb, he's not going to catch it. And that's a weakness. And sometimes he gets himself out of position defensively. But if I was the Dragons, I don't think Ramsey's any better in those stages. So it's not a like-for-like swap or an even swapping to a better player. So I wouldn't have been letting him go. But I've got a bit of a question about Dufty for you later on, so we'll leave it there for now.
Yeah.
But Tim Sheens is rejoining the West Tigers as their head of football performance. I think it's a good move for the Tigers. I think out of the bottom eight teams, I think the Tigers have been one of the more impressive week to week. They're not always winning, but they're always giving effort. And I think he can really help them potentially go back to where they used to be back in the good old days. What do you reckon?
It's been a while since those good old days. So, yeah, probably since Sheens was last there. So, yeah, he's a respected figure at the Tigers as well. So it can only be good.
Yeah.
And, yeah, go and backtrack a bit because Mark's dropped a comment. I agree with him. I agree with you completely, Mark. I don't know. I wouldn't be moving CNK. I'd be wanting him as my fullback.
So for the listeners that aren't watching, Mark said it's weird that the Raiders are looking at Dufty when they've got CNK. Yeah, I agree too. They seem to envision CNK becoming their next center, and that's why they're interested in this move. He can play center well, but he's a great fullback, and I think we've seen it's not really much of a coincidence that the Raiders' downfall has happened the same time he's been in the casualty ward. I think he offers so much to them from the back in attack. And I wouldn't be so keen to switch. It's not like you're getting Ryan Pappenhausen or a James Tedesco that's coming to your club to take him off. It's Matt Dufty is a great attacking player, as we said, but he's not in that top echelon of fullbacks. So I don't think he would be coming in and stealing his job. So interesting times. It's just which team Dufty ends up going to, because he said a lot, even this week after the game, he doesn't want to leave the Dragons. It's so it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. But we get into some Peter Vlandy's news. He came out during the week and admitted that the NRL should have consulted the players better before introducing the head contact crackdown. There was quite a bit of news throughout the week that the players' union were looking at a way to try to get him out of his job, and that they were very critical of how they approached this whole change that we saw in Magic Round. It's interesting to see him come out and say, yeah, we kind of did it wrong. They're not going to change, but they're saying like in the future that they'll, when they do these decisions, they might actually talk to the players first. What do you reckon? Do you think they'll actually improve in their communication with the players, or is this just a bit of PR?
Maybe a bit of PR, but it's probably, for me, just he's just coming out and saying that because of what was happening with the players' union and a lot of media around it during the week, and Daly Cherry Evans was the first sort of face of that. Maybe Peter's coming out to sort of, try and put out a little bit of a fire there. But, you hope he, and going forward, that communication around these sort of things might be a bit better, because I'm sort of with the players' union on that one, that, you know, the change for the players sort of came out of the blue without much consultation.
Yeah. As we've spoken about before, I understand what they're trying to achieve. I just think it was, you can't expect everyone to change like that. There's always one in every, a black sheep in every family. Mark's commenting that he likes Richie's blue gear in the background. Filthy, but it's fine. We'll move on. And Simon's commented, Peter Vlandy's, he doesn't think he's good for our sport. I think the only people who like him are the media. He did save them. Yeah. So he's done a lot for the business end of thing. And I think I think he's riding on the curtails of getting league back on everyone's televisions last year during COVID, which I can't praise him anymore for. It was great having footy back. Be good once it's back on this side of the Tasman as well. But I still don't like the direction they're trying to take footy, where they're just trying to keep making it faster and faster and trying to take some of that contact out. Not saying I've probably got a reputation now after the last few shows that I'm a bit of a grub because every sin bin's been rubbish and contact the head's fine. But I get what it is. But we've seen, even last year, this year, we've just seen injury skyrocket and you're pushing these athletes at breakneck pace all the time and they're breaking down. And not every team's like Manly where one player goes down, you fall apart. But it's going to be hard to try to keep viewers watching if you're going, here's the Panthers with 10 players out injured against the Storm with 15 players injured. So there's got to be give and take. Yeah, and Simon's mentioned Peter V needs to stop slagging off people in Melbourne. I think it's a lot of that and his constant going against AFL. Like, I know it's a big battle in Australia trying to get those AFL guys, but it kind of, in my opinion, from the outside looking in, it kind of makes the NRL look petty. The AFL, I don't see a lot of the AFL stuff, so I don't know how much they're giving back in media, but I don't see a lot of that. So it kind of seems like the NRL's the little brother nagging the big brother instead of going just making the production on the field better. Go, look, this is exciting, watch it. Kind of like what we're seeing with Sky. Simon's just mentioned the AFL chairman never talks about the NRL because it's the competition. You don't want to talk about the competition. You don't want to hear the Warriors talking about the All Blacks every 5 seconds. It's the same type of thing in my eyes, but focus on the NRL. That's what you're trying to build. And just try to make it exciting, but don't turn it into just touch footy where we've got 13 skinny young guys running all over the park. You've got to have some big boppers in there because that's what I love. But yeah, I'm very biased. But yeah, we'll get off him for a bit and get on to Anthony Milford. He's out for at least a month after injuring his knee. Most likely played his last game as a Bronco. What do you reckon?
I reckon, yeah, he probably wouldn't be making the team anyway, if the Broncos had their way. So, possibly played his last game. I feel sorry for him. I do. He looks like someone that he's just down in confidence and he's not doing the things he was able to do 3-4 years ago. And then, you know, the Broncos in that time has gone from bad to worse. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting to see what happens with him from here on in. Like Mark's just pointed out.
Mark's just said he doesn't know where Milford goes from here. To be honest, I think it's Super League. I think he had his chance. We talked about it last week. He had his chance to kind of show NRL teams what he had, and he just had a horrible night, and this injury doesn't help. So he's not really building anything to say there's something there, keep me around. So he'll probably be Super League bound and be a superstar over there again. But, yeah, I don't see any NRL team really interested in picking him up. But speaking of that, Carmichael Hunt's back. We talked about him signing a train and trial deal. He's making his return for the Broncos this week. It's actually made me more interested in this game, to be fair. Interested to see how he goes. I never really had anything against Carmichael when he played in the NRL, other than when he played for Australia after saying no to the Kiwis. Simon said the only problem with the NRL players is you can't get contracts in Australian Super League, hasn't got the money it used to. Yeah, they don't have the big bucks as they used to over there. But I guess what is it? Is it taking a little bit of money in the Super League to continue career, or do you go and pay for petrol money at your local club in Oz? What do you do? I don't know. But I think Carmichael, it'll be interesting to see how he goes. It's not like he's coming into a superstar team that's going to help him look good. He's really going to have to go in there and earn a spot with the Broncos. But be fair, they can't really do any worse, can they?
No, they can't. Maybe they're looking for a bit of experience. Back when he was playing for the Broncos, they were one of the good teams. So, like you said, Brad, it adds a lot of interest into their game just to see how he goes. So, good luck to him. Yeah. He's getting on a bit. So, hopefully, he can bring a whole lot of experience and get the Broncos humming.
Yeah, and Mark's just mentioned that the new North American League might be an option for Milford. That's true. That could be an option for him. And he can play some exciting football when he wants, which is great to try to get those Americans interested. It's just a shame they're starting it now. If they'd started a couple of years ago, I would have been keen to go over. Sure, I could make an American team. Talking about the Broncos, we may as well segue straight into our round 13 review, which started with the Broncos getting smashed by the Dragons 52-24. And so I was just mentioning, the rugby league's been cancelled this year, but it'll be back next year, which is perfect timing for Milford to move over as well. So, I'm still keeping an eye on that. I think they're going to try to do some games within the the different conferences, but not traveling across America. But that might have all been shelved now. I'll do some more research on it, so I actually sound like I know what I'm talking about next week. The first game on Thursday night, Dragons 52, Broncos 24. We talked about it already with Dufty, but he kind of did quite a good showing for himself in the bid to try to get a contract. Two tries, five try assists, 132 running meters. The media actually came out and said that the Broncos contacted his management straight after the game, saying about interested in coming and joining them. I think the Dragons were just too good here. The Broncos did stay competitive in the first half and then just fell away in the second. I think Jack Bird moved into the second row, which is actually a good move. I thought he played really well there. He's a little bit bigger than he used to be, which happens to all of us as we get a bit older. But I think, he did really well in the centres. He's defensively sound. He's still got that playmaking ability that we've seen from him in the backs. So he set up a good try. Scored a good try himself from some woeful Broncos defense. But what do you think about this game?
This game just proved to me once and for all why in this day and age did not tip the Broncos. I made that mistake. Otherwise, I would have gone a couple ahead of Brad in our tips. But they were pretty brittle, weren't they? And I was expecting a close game out of this one. But, Broncos just didn't really have any defense, and Dufty just cut them to shreds. And like you said, Jack Bird was also very good. So, surprising for me because the Dragons haven't looked like doing this in the past few weeks, but there you go. They put it on them.
Yeah. And for the Broncos side of things, I think TC Robarty played quite well. He, unfortunately, he scored two tries, kept them in it, and then he got simbined, which started the Dragons going on a rampage. Not to say that he was at fault, but it was definitely a momentum swinger after his double. But he looks very good at such a young age. It's good to see the Broncos aren't letting every young gun go. So, it's a good win for the Dragons. Unfortunately, it keeps them in the eight for another week. I keep hoping that they lose a game or two. Mark said Albert Kelly's been a big surprise. I think, Albert Kelly's actually playing really well. I didn't expect much when I heard the Broncos had signed him. Admittedly, he hasn't got a lot of competition in the halves there. But I think I think him and Carmichael could do something nice together, possibly. But yeah, it's always those comeback stories are always good when you see a player come back from adversity and make a name for themselves. So I like those Hollywood-like stories. But I still think the Broncos are a mess. What would you do to fix them? I'm giving you the job right now.
Who knows, mate? Yeah, if Anthony Seibold and now Kevy Walters can't fix it, then I've got little hope of fixing them. But, yeah, it looks like they've got probably a couple more years down Struggle Street, unless Adam Reynolds really comes in next year and makes a big difference to them. But, yeah, they really need to see results start turning around so they can start attracting some good players again and you know, turn into a formidable team again. But they've got some positives going forward with Reynolds signing and Katoni Staggs re-signing on. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just an attitude thing. I think if they had the same attitude that the Tigers have, where, like I said, the Tigers aren't always winning, but they're giving it 100% and they take every team that faces them to the limit. If they had that attitude, if the Broncos were losing, consistently losing, but you were fighting to beat them, I think it wouldn't be as bad. It's still bad losing, but if you're getting 50 put on you like every second week, it's not good for your confidence, that's for sure.
It's not the Broncos of yesteryear, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The Broncos back in the day would never get 50 put on them once in a season, let alone multiple times in the past 2 years. So,
yeah, definitely. But speaking of the Tigers, we'll go into the second game of the round. This is the one that I got wrong in our tips. The Tigers beating the Panthers 26-6. It was the upset of the round for me, but not for you because you picked this. So I'll let you start off. What did you think of this game that you predicted?
Yeah, I had the crystal ball out handy with that one, Brad. It's just the Panthers had, for me, like, yes, the personnel that they put out was still good and they still had a lot of quality across the park, but it was just a lot of disruption to their spine, you know, in that key area. And it sort of showed because Matt Burton, who's been going really good guns out in the centres, switched into the halves and didn't really have too much of an impact and made a couple of errors here and there. And yeah, they just didn't look as cohesive as they have in a long while. And you can pretty much put that down to the number of players they had out. And prior to that, they've had a pretty solid team and not a lot of injuries for a long while now, which obviously has translated to results for a long period. Yeah. So that's a long time before they've lost a regular season game. So,
yeah, it is.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was also Charlie Steyn's first regular season defeat of his career.
Wow.
So a lot of these guys haven't really felt what it's like to lose in a round. Admittedly, they've felt the most brutal loss of them all, which is a grand final. But, yeah, I'm a bit more harsh than you. I think we've seen teams like Melbourne play without their entire spine and put 50 on teams. It's not like the Panthers were playing the Rabbitohs or the Eels or like a top six team. They were playing the Tigers, who do always give their effort. So I was still disappointed that they lost here. But just, yeah, Panthers just didn't play well. I think they had the talent. Yeah. I think Burton wasn't terrible, but I think he left a lot to be desired. And yeah, Mark just said Staines really offers nothing to the Panthers set speed. That's very true. They still had my boy Momorowski and Crichton in the centres, and they still had a lot of good players there from the Kiwi contingent and Kakao. So I think they still should have done better than they did. A loss is still a thing, but losing by 20 to the Tigers, I don't think would have been acceptable. I feel sorry this week for the Sharks, because I think the Sharks are going to be on a bit of a hiding to nothing for the Panthers having something to prove, even if they don't have their Origin guys back. But yeah, and Mark said he was actually at the game, because he's one of these people that gets to go to live football. We don't know what it's like over here, Mark, but
yeah. Were you one of the ones giving it to Ivan Cleary, Mark? Because he was copping a lot.
Yeah, it's not a good look, but it happens every year due to the situation that Cleary was in, where he kind of left them in the lurch. So I understand. Mark saying he doesn't want to rub it in. Yeah, I see it on Facebook. Yeah, it seems like you go to every game of every round. So you rub it in all the time. Mark said not as a Warriors supporter, because we love Ivan.
Of course.
I wouldn't do it, but I can see it from the Tigers fans' point of view. He came in and they were actually gaining some momentum with him as coach, and then Lady Gus Gould calls up Ivan, says, "We're going to lose your son to the Tigers if you don't come back. Can you come back, please?" And so he did. I don't like the way he left, but it's a few years ago now. The Tigers fans got to kind of let it go.
Yeah.
I think full credit to the Tigers. Like I said, they just always give it 100%. And I don't see them winning this week, but I'm sure they're going to take the Eels to the limit. Next game on Saturday, we saw our first competitive, or our only competitive match of the round, with the Storm beating the Titans 20-14. Simon's just mentioned he'd love Ivan to be coach of the Warriors. Man, I still think that's one of the two biggest mistakes the Warriors have made in their history. It's number one, letting Ali Lautiti walk out the door, and number two, letting Ivan do the same thing. If I could go back in time and change things, those are the two I would do. Warriors should never have let him go. I think the painful thing was that, well, he didn't want to go either. So, we can thank Wayne Scarra for that, but thank goodness he's not around anymore. Back to the Storm Titans game. Titans almost got this. Max just said signing Johnny Wright was a big mistake too. Oh, we could talk all night about players they shouldn't have signed. Jesse Royals one for me, but we go back to the Storm game, guys. Titans almost took this to Golden Point, but Brian Kelly had a bit of an Adam Pompey Hungus moment and went himself.
What was he thinking?
I don't know. I think he would have been hiding in the sheds afterwards.
That was a shocker. Bobby
saying, we need him back. I don't see him ever coming back. I think he's quite comfortable in Penrith. He'll stay there as long as the Sun does. And Simon says, do you think the Sunshine Coast should have an NRL team? Sunshine Coast has really been putting on some big performances. Being the new makeshift home for Storm until Melbourne sorts their crap out with COVID. Not a bad place. I think potentially it could end up just being a place where the Storm go. They might throw a couple of games there every year. We're getting back to this game. You guys are getting me backtracked. But Mark's commented Jaden Campbell had a solid debut. Yeah, I thought Preston Campbell's son in his first game, I thought he'd be well. He's yet another young superstar on the rise. We're getting a lot of them this year. which is great for the NRL in total, with a lot of young talent rising to the top here. But yeah, I thought he was very solid. Did a great tackle on Nico Hines. Just stopped him in his place. And I think, yeah, basically the Titans showed a lot of spirit, but they just didn't have the finesse to get the job done. And the Storm just do what the Storm do, which is win. Doesn't matter who's playing and who they're playing against. They know how to get the job done, which is what we saw here.
Yeah, pretty much. They've got that winning mentality. And even when there's, you know, they're not sort of playing vintage Storm footy, they still find a way. The Storm, the Titans actually, I echo your thoughts, Brad. They were pretty courageous, and I thought the Storm would have put more points on the Titans. But, you know, they hung tough, and if not for a couple of brain snaps like the Brian Kelly one, ignoring a clear 2-on-1, you know, it could have been a different result. So, but
could have been, yeah.
Yeah, here we are talking about another Storm win.
Yeah, and I know everyone's tipping the Panthers to go all the way at the moment. Sportsbet in Australia is even paying out people. They've bet on them to win the grand final already. But my money's still on the Storm at the moment. I think the Storm, I think they just know how to win. And I think that's going to be the final again. I think it's going to be Penrith, the Storm. And, yeah, I would probably be putting money on the Storm in that again. But Penrith, you can never really rule them out, but the Storm are just natural-born winners, unfortunately, especially since they're playing us this week.
I think this week showed how important the halves are to Penrith, though, didn't it? Cleary and Luai. I mean, I think if one of those guys goes down at the back end of the season, then I think we really start looking at it's a good chance the Storm might do it because they just seem to cover their depth just seems to cover losses of players a bit better. They seem sort of second to none in that department.
Every new guy that comes in just becomes the next big thing. So you think how well they've been playing the last couple of weeks, and it's still all without Ryan Papenhuyzen. Cameron Munster's been gone. He's back tonight, obviously, in Origin. So hopefully he's not back for the Warriors game this week. Hopefully they decide to rest him after being away for injured for so long. But, they're just a good team, as much as I don't like to admit it. But that brings us to the last game of the round. The Eels embarrassing the Knights on Old Boys Day in Newcastle, 40-4. Not really much to say. The Eels just had a field day. They scored 5 tries in the first half, including a double to Mike Acevo, which made him the third fastest player to get to 50 tries. He's only behind Vunivalu and Semi Truck. So good kudos for him. I think he's a great try scoring weapon.
Who did you just name off there? Vunivalu and
Semi. I never get his name right. So Semi Truck.
That's what the Warriors need, a Fijian winger. The stats prove it.
We need a Fiji winger. Yeah. Well, we've got Junior Rituva. He's injured at the moment, but I think he's coming back on the books next season. So he kind of fits that mold.
Yeah.
So time will tell. Mark's commented, Knights lacking direction. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. Yeah. Mitchell Pearce has been gone. He was a massive loss. Blake Green retiring. They did have their new boy, Jake Clifford. He didn't really play as good as he did against the Warriors the week before. But he'll get there in time. They just need some people around him. I think if you had Clifford and Pearce out there, it's a different story. Still no Ponga as well. Yeah. They're missing a lot of guys that are the ones generally tasked with directing the field of play. So they were kind of onto a hiding to nothing beforehand. But the Eels, they just need to continue playing with this kind of ruthless aggression if they want to stay in the top four. There's a lot of teams nipping at the heels, and they can't do the play really well one week, be off the next like they have been. They just need to put their foot down and take advantage, especially with most of their talent not going not going well. Not going into Origin, sorry. They get to keep everyone. Mark's just said we have them in 2 weeks. Yeah, is it the Knights or is it the
Knights? Yes, I the think, Knights. Isn't it?
Yeah,
we lost them last time. So
we did. Yeah, the Knights are a different team than they were when we played them in the second round, though. So yeah, it's definitely a winnable game for the Warriors. And Simon said he doesn't like having NRL games at the same time as State of Origin.
Yeah,
we should turn this into a representative round where we could have a Kiwi Origin Oceania Cup. Yeah, we've talked about it quite a bit with you, Simon, even on the show, that it kind of takes a sting out. This week was kind of like my first week off as such, where I wasn't writing live match reports or things. I did write a mid-season review for my website, and I write a weekly wrap-up for a site in Australia, so I still watch all the games, but it just doesn't feel the same when there's only four. And I'd love to see some. So you've got so much Kiwi talent, Pacific Island talent, something like that would be good. Make like a week of it where you have me then may move your Origin to like the Saturday night, and do like the Wednesday you do one game, Friday you do another or something. I'm not sure. They could do something around it. But so that goes to our picks. We were bang on again, 3 from 4 each. I got the Dragons Broncos game right, and you got the Panthers Tigers game right, which sees you leading still, 71 out of 100 to my 70. So we're still neck and neck. But hopefully I can change that at some point. Not this week, looking at what our tips are, but we'll go into looking at the ladder before we move on a bit. So still really, it's basically identical to what it was last week, with all the bye teams getting just their 2 points. Our top four is still Penrith, Storm, Eels and Rabbitohs. Roosters and Manly are just behind them at 5th and 6th, with the Cowboys and the Dragons sitting in the quicksand levels of 7th and 8th, which seems to be able to potentially change every week. And then, the Warriors are just outside on 9th, and Cronulla 10th. Tigers have gone up to 11th now after their win. Titans down to 12th. Raiders to 13th. And I think that officially rules the Raiders. I think we ruled the Raiders out last week, didn't we?
Yeah, pretty much.
Bulldogs are still at the bottom. Broncos not far behind. Then Newcastle 14th. So where's our switch? Where's our cutoff now?
I still think up to Gold Coast have a chance because, once rep period's gone and they get a run, hopefully they get an injury-free run and they have Big Tino and David Fifita get back into form, that there's still a chance. They're not, you don't write them off yet, but the way they've defended, probably not. So, 11 or 12, yeah. I think. I don't see Cronulla or West Tigers cracking the 8, to be honest with you. So I still think it's sort of ours to lose, really.
Yeah. In my review, I looked over the upcoming rounds, and there's 12 games left for the Warriors, and I picked 3 that I don't see them winning, and the others are all ones they can win. Doesn't mean they're going to win all of them. Knowing what the Warriors are like, they might lose all of them and win those 3 that I don't think they're going to win. But it's definitely they're right. Getting that win against the Cowboys would have been great. Would have really had them in control, but they've still got enough control over their own destiny. We're not in that horrible position we usually are as Warriors fans, where you're going, they need to win this many out of these games. We're in the driver's seat, which is great at this time of year, especially when you think you got Adam Fanua Blake and the likes coming back in. So good. Unfortunately, they do have a tough team this week, but I think they're definitely in the driver's seat. So hopefully that means when they come back to New Zealand in round 22, it's actually in a position where they're actually going to be playoff bound. So fingers crossed for us there. And Mark mentioned that game 2 of Origin is playing on a Sunday, and it's been class rep round, but there's no other rep games and no NRL at all. It's just one game of Origin.
Funny.
Yeah, I don't understand. I know we can be a bit biased because we're Kiwis. So I love Origin, but it's not the be all and end all of my footy. So I'd love to see them actually bring in, like we talked earlier, Oceania, bring in like a Tonga versus New Zealand or something like that. Get those other guys. I feel like 80% of the NRL aren't eligible for Origin now, and it's all the good players you want to see playing can't play. So they need to do something, especially if you're going to wipe out NRL for an entire week, because there's only so much talking about Reece Walsh we can do on a show if there's no games to talk about. But we'll see. And yeah, Mark said the 2-1-point losses against Manly and Cowboys could come back to bite us. Yeah. That is, those are games they should have won and potentially could be points that they actually needed when we fast forward a few rounds. Fingers crossed though that isn't the case, but we'll see. We haven't really had any questions because we've kind of been answering them as we go. But we had questions for each other. I'll go first because I talk too much, so I'll let you talk for a bit. With the Dragons not wanting Dufty, as we've been talking about, my question for you is, where should he go? Is there a team you think that would suit his style? So not necessarily the teams that are saying we want to get him and moving our already players, but what teams do you see he could fit into with his current style?
So we talked a bit about, I know he's meeting with the Raiders, and that makes no sense to me because of CNK. Broncos, yeah. For me, I think, you know, the Broncos, and we spoke a bit about what would we do to change their fortunes. Their spine just needs a shake-up, you know, and it's a good start getting Adam Reynolds. I know Katoni Staggs has spoken that he might like playing 5-8. At some point, he makes a very good centre. But, you know, Dufty would be a good addition to them. They have Asako at the moment. He's sort of rocks and diamonds. And on the weekend, he delivered the rocks. So Dufty's a bit that way too. But, you know, another playmaker, I think, would really suit the Broncos and help them out. Because Asako is as good as he can be when he's on. He's not really the biggest playmaker in the fullback role. He's a good runner with a good step and goal kicker, obviously. But I think of all the teams that might need somebody like Dufty, he would suit the Broncos. I know his name was floated around in Warriors circles, but I see him being a similar sort of player to Reece Walsh. And I think, you know, too many players small in stature with defensive issues might not go so well for us.
So we actually got a question now from Mark saying, what's your thoughts on Jerome Luai coming out and saying he won't play for Australia? Do you think players playing Origin should commit to the Kangaroos? You may as well keep going because it's a New South Wales player, so I don't really care.
Hey, look, so, I think it's awesome he wants to play for his heritage. I think that's fantastic, and it will only strengthen international rugby league.
Are you biased being a Samoan, though? Is that just your Samoan coming out?
No, absolutely not. Had it been Fiji or Tonga, same answer. It's really good having a player of his quality pledging his allegiance to his heritage. I don't really care what Australia do with, you know, their around state of origin, what happens there, because they've sort of always treated it like a trial for the Kangaroos in the past anyway, so... I think for me, if it strengthens the international game, that's really good because the Aussies are always looking after their backyard with Origin and things like that. So, I think it's
cool. I don't mind it because it does help strengthen the international game, and maybe it will let but Max just said as well, I've always believed that if you pledge your country or your heritage, then you don't play Origin. I see that point of view as well, because I do still see Origin as an Australian thing. So if you're playing Origin, you should be classed as an Australian. Being the white guy on this panel, I feel a bit awkward. Don't want to make it sound that way. But I also can see it as a bit of a loophole for players that want to play Origin. Like that would, we talked about the Jason Tomalolo wanting to play for Queensland. If he had never worn a Kiwis jersey, he technically would be playing Origin because he plays for Tonga and they class Tonga as a second tier nation, which I still think is ridiculous because Tonga is a tier one nation in my eyes, in terms of league now with all the talent they have. But yeah, if, I'm sitting on the fence on this one. I don't know.
No, I guess from an Origin point of view, it would be weird seeing, like if we looked at it, it would be weird seeing Kiwis run around, people playing for the Kiwis also running around Origin, you know? So yeah. I take Mark's point. From an Origin point of view, I know it would annoy a lot of Australians and State of Origin fans, and you can understand that because you want people who bleed blue or bleed maroon playing State of Origin.
Yeah. So I don't know if we really answered that question properly. We just ran around it. He's also asked, where do we think Sean Johnson will end up? I don't know. I still have a feeling he's going to go to the Rabbits. I know. I think that Wayne Bennett factor, I think if anything, if those rumors about money is true, I think if anyone trumps money, it's Bennett. I just have a feeling. It doesn't mean it's going to be right, but that's where I feel like he's going to go.
Do you think it suits the Bunnies? You know, he's sort of, for me, he's kind of, his role is similar to Cody Walker. I think I've always thought of Sean as a number six and more of a running number six. I know he's slowed down a bit nowadays, but he's not an organizer in the same breath as Adam Reynolds.
Yeah, I think he's trying to change his style, though. He's not trying to be a bit like we saw with Benji, how Benji is kind of, as he went on, he changed his whole style. Like the Benji we see now is not the Benji that started running around, running length of field tries and stepping. Mark said he thinks he'd be better suited at the Broncos with Reynolds. He'd be a great fit at the Broncos as well. I just don't know if they have the coin now. After shelling out, if they can get him cheap, then that's a good place to go. But if they're also looking at Dufty, I think, if they don't end up getting Dufty, then I think Johnson will be an option. And then they'd just keep Ozarko at fullback. I just want to see him keep playing. He's always been exciting to watch, and I always like seeing him go. We got your question for me. We may as well go. I know Mark said he's going to bombard us with questions, but we've got at least 20 minutes left before we have to sign off. So don't bombard us with too many. your question for me, Rich.
Yeah, cool, man. I know you love Nathan Brown's games when it comes to Team Naming Tuesday. I know you're a big fan of it. He likes to play smoke and mirrors a bit. What do you see the team being when they run out on the weekend? What do you think he'll do with the lineup?
I hate him making his weird picks. It causes a nightmare for me. I'm just going to go back. I'm Googling as we speak to look at her lineup. Fenua Blake will be if he's not starting, he'll be in the 17. I know as much. Brown's even come out and said that if he's fit, he'll be there. That might be the only change, unless Ken comes back in for Kossi.
How is Ken tracking? I haven't heard much on Ken at the minute.
I haven't heard much either. That's a Mark question. So, Mark, if you fill us in on how Ken's going at the moment. Because now he had a bit of it was a calf complaint, I think. Looking at the extended bench, you've actually got Jazz still on the extended as well. So I feel Jazz will come in. I feel like he's just too valuable on coming in as like the 14th man even. Because at the moment their bench is quite heavy. I don't see us running with basically there's two props in second rower right now, but you could effectively call them all front rowers at the size they are. So yeah, I think a bit of change there. I'd say yeah, Jazz and Ken and Fenua Blake coming in. Fenua Blake coming in, maybe Jermaine Tanoa Brown or Kane Evans would be the one that loses this week to bring him in. Yeah. What's Mark said? Kossi drops out, Mamalo comes in, Fenua Blake for Leeson back to the bench, and Evans drops out. Yeah. And then yeah, Jazz to the 17, Murch or Ciro to 18th. Yeah, when I was looking at the bench, I was seeing Murchie as potentially the guy that would lose out to Tavanga. So yeah, I'll just jump on Mark's back here and take that answer. If Nathan Brown could just say this is the 17 on Tuesday, it would be great for me. Hurts my NRL fantasy scores. Not knowing who's playing. So we may as well go into our preview and picks. So first up, we've got tonight's game. We've got the underdog Queensland team against New South Wales playing in Townsville. So it's going to be hard for Queensland there. And Mark said he knows Ken's ready to play. If he passes captain's run, he'll play. So nice. There you go, yeah. I see him coming in. So, who you got? Have you got the mighty Queenslanders, or have you got the woeful New South Welshmen?
It's not even a question, Brad. New South Wales.
New South Wales. I'm going with my team, Queensland. So we'll see what happens there. First up, though, on Friday, we've got Seagulls versus Cowboys. I'm going with Seagulls. I think Cowboys... they've looked good. Seagulls, I think they should be okay. Depends. Might change this pick if Tommy Turbo's not playing. But, yeah, I'll go with Seagulls right now.
Yeah, me too. They're a disappointing last time out. And Tommy Turbo was handled pretty well last game out. I think, if he's playing, I think they might bounce back from that last one. Yeah, see, Mark just said too, if Turbo was rested, Cowboys win. I could agree. I could see that happening too. So, but I've tipped Manly. So hopefully Turbo's not rested.
Yeah. And before we move too far on, Simon's picked the Maroons by 6. So you're in my good books. You've given me your picks for the rest of the round, which I'll bring up once we've finished ours. So next up on Friday, we've got Sharks Panthers. I'm sticking on the Panthers train. I'm going with them again. I think they're going to punish the Sharks. Sharks haven't looked that great. I think it'll be too easy for Panthers.
Sharks didn't look too bad last time around against Titans. Panthers have named all their Origin guys on an extended bench. Is that correct? At this stage, they're not. I've still picked the Panthers. I think they'll bounce back. Be surprised. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see if any of those guys actually make a surprise inclusion before game time.
I think most of them will play.
Have a rest? You think they will play?
No, I think they'll. Well, no, yeah, it's the Panthers. I think even if the Panthers came out and lost, it's not the end of this season. So they might potentially raid. And, yeah, Mark said players packing it 2 days after Origin is a question. Yeah, so they might. I still think I thought they were good enough to beat the Tigers, so I think they'll be good enough to beat the Sharks without the guys. And they've at least had experience without their spine there now. We both pick Panthers there.
We both pick Panthers there, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Next game on Saturday, we've got Titans Roosters. I'll go on with the Roosters. Every time I seem to go against the Roosters, I've got it wrong. So I'm just backing them now.
Yeah, me too. Almost the same reason. I think whenever I've tipped against them this year, they've thrown an egg in my face. So the Titans actually looked decent on the weekend. So, but then they've been a bit here and there, and their defense hasn't been the best. So, yeah, I'm going to run with Roosters.
Yeah, and then probably one of the easiest games to pick this week, we've got Rabbitohs Knights. I've gone with Rabbits. I think, yeah, the Knights, as we mentioned earlier and as Mark mentioned, they just lack direction, and I think the Rabbitohs will do quite well. So, yeah, I've gone with Rabbits.
Yeah, the Knights, apart from that game against Manly a couple of weeks back or last week, yeah, they haven't been looking any chop at all. And that was a really big surprise result. So barring any really big surprises like that, I think Rabbitohs should get that one pretty easily.
Definitely. And this game here was actually the hardest for me to pick this week, which is the Raiders versus Broncos. I've gone with the Raiders, but I think both of these teams, if the Bulldogs didn't exist, these are the worst two teams in the comp right now. I think even performance-wise, they probably are. I think the Bulldogs are probably have got more reasons to be as bad as they are than these two do. So I think any team could come out and win it, but I'm going with Raiders because it's in Canberra.
Yeah, me too. This is a toss of the coin game, really. Both teams have been really bad. But, yeah, at the toss of a coin, I went Raiders. It's hard to tell that one.
Yeah, definitely. That brings us to the first game on Sunday. We've got the Warriors versus the Storm. I'll go with the Storm. I think the Storm has shown how good they are without their stars and without origin players. And it's sounding defeatist, but I'm just hoping the Warriors put in a great effort. If they get the win, it'll be fantastic. But if as long as it's not like what it was on Anzac Day, if they take them to the limit, I think it'll be a good step in the right direction. But I think the Storm will still just be too strong.
I'm really disappointed in you, Brad. No, I picked the Storm as well. We haven't had the best of runs against them the past couple of years. So, yeah, it's hard to tip against the Storm.
And Mark mentioned Walsh is a big out for us. See, I tried to promise Richard that I wouldn't talk about him this week since there was no Warriors games. But, yes, my beautiful boy, Reece Walsh, isn't playing. And,
somebody has to talk about him.
Huge miss. Yeah, a huge, huge miss. So I think I'll start up another podcast, just the Walsh Hour. Where I can just sit there and talk about him. I love him.
But that sounds amazing.
Huge loss. Thankfully, it's only a week. So we get him back for games that the Warriors have more of a chance of winning. Fortunately, we both picked there. And then we've got Sunday's last game, Eels versus Tigers. I've gone with the Eels. Eels are just looking good at the moment. Not affected that much by Origin. And they're playing at Bankwest.
Yeah, I went Eels as well. Weekend just gone. They look to get their mojo back, so they should carry that on.
Yeah, and then the final game's on Monday because it's a public holiday in Oz. And we've got the Bulldogs Dragons. They love putting the crappy teams in the very last game. I don't understand it, but I've gone with Dragons. I think the Dragons we know on their biggest person praising them to go all the way to the wooden spoon like I predicted, but I think they'll just be too good for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I went Dragons as well. They looked pretty sharp last week, and Bulldogs just haven't looked sharp all year, so Dragons.
We need the Dragons to start dropping some games so we can actually have a chance of getting into the eight as a selfish Warriors fan here. before we go move on, Simon's picks. He's got the Seagulls by 6, Panthers by 10, Titans by 4, Rabbitohs by 10, Raiders by 4, Storm by 8, Eels by 6, and Dragons by 12. So you're confident in the Warriors just losing. I think in my mid-season review, I picked the Storm to win by 16. I'm hoping that yours is right or we're all wrong and the Warriors get a win.
Ideally,
yeah, that's always the ideal situation. So apart from Origin, we picked the same again, so you're going to be ahead when we come this week, but I'll be ahead when it comes to Origin, which we'll count up in a different tally for all three games. Due to Challenge Cup Super League, still a bit wishy-washy. We've only had one game, so I'll cover that next week. I'm just seeing there's no more questions that I can see. So we may as well wrap it up so everyone can go off and get ready for Origin. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in and joining us tonight on Standoff with Brad and Richie. For your weekly update on Rugby League, remember to tune into our show next week at 8 p.m. NZ time here on Facebook or at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Thanks again for joining me, Rich, and cheers, everyone, for the questions, and Mark for attempting to become our co-host here with all the intel. Just keep bringing us the info.
Yeah, it's great. That's really good.
And, yeah, for everyone else listening as well, cheers for all the comments and feedback, and we'll join you here next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cheers all. Go New South Wales.
Go Queensland. Good night.